Pedestrian deaths spiked across the U.S. during the pandemic, and numbers in Wisconsin have gone up, too. In the first half of last year, 39 pedestrians were killed in the state. The governor's Highway Safety Administration says that's close to double the number of fatalities in the same period of 2020. Our next guest says there are ways to make streets safer. He says one place to start is how we design our streets and roads. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a dangerous street or intersection where you live? Do you feel safe walking around in your community? Do you feel safe letting your kids, say, walk around in your community? Are there solutions you would like to see? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Robert Schneider is a professor and chair of UW-Milwaukee's Department of Urban Planning. He specializes in sustainable transportation, modeling, and safety analysis. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Great to be back again.
What are you seeing in pedestrian death numbers and pedestrian safety over the last couple of years?
Well, it's been an unfortunate trend, actually, not just since the pandemic, but really since the Great Recession. 2009 in the United States was the lowest pedestrian fatality numbers in recorded memory, when we had about 4,100 pedestrian deaths in that year. 2021 is projected to have more than 7,000 pedestrians killed, so more than a 50% increase over a decade. Which is very disappointing. It has been an increase that is more than the increases in fatalities for other transportation modes, such as automobiles.
A lot of times, I think the solutions to this kind of problem are, hey, drivers drive safer, pedestrians walk safer. And that's true. We all want that. But a lot of your research looks at roadways and streets, how they're designed. You, in your research, found hotspots that were very unsafe for pedestrians. Can you tell us a little bit about that work?
Yes, my colleagues and I looked at a number of locations where fatalities had occurred. We have a very good reporting system for roadway fatalities across the country. And so we looked at every roadway in the entire country and looked for places where there were six or more pedestrian fatalities over an eight-year period within 1,000 meters, or about three football fields long. And so there were 31 of these hotspot locations between 2001 and 2008, and then there were another 34 between 2009 and 2016. In total, there were 60 different locations, and they tended to have similar characteristics. And this is the key point, because fatalities in where they occur shift over time. You may not see a fatality occur in a particular location one year after another, but the same types of locations tend to have the highest risk. And so what we saw were these hot spots were places where they were multi-lane roadways, often four lanes or six lanes. It was often a state highway in a urban or suburban community. It often had relatively long distances between where pedestrians could cross the roadway with a signalized crossing. And unfortunately, we also saw an equity component to this, where 75% of these hotspots were in lower income communities, and communities of color were also overrepresented in these hotspot locations.
We're talking to Robert Schneider, professor and chair of UW-Milwaukee's Department of Urban Planning, looking at the hazards pedestrians face walking on American roadways, what makes particular roads less safe than others. You can join in at 800-642-1234, maybe with a report from your own community, your own neighborhood. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Edward joins us in Cedarburg. Edward, hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. The thing I was thinking about, I'm originally from Europe, I'm from England. We have crosswalks in Europe, but they're not just painted on the road like oftentimes in America. You know, the drivers have to look on the road to see the crosswalk. I mean, we have like sort of quasi traffic lights by the crosswalks, the amber, and they flash, and there's one either side, and you know, we, and it's like they're like sacred. You know, if somebody steps on a crosswalk, you stop. You know, they stop. The drivers stop. You don't go cruising through, no matter where they are on the crosswalk. I just don't think we give pedestrians enough respect. You know, the pedestrians were here before the cars.
Edward, thanks for the call. So, Bob, a couple things there. Partly it's the culture, but also he says how much of an indication there is to drivers that there is a crosswalk. A painted on only one does tend to be pretty, I guess, hypothetical for a lot of drivers.
Yes. Well, let me start with a couple of points that are related to what he said. And it calls on us to make educational improvements. So make sure that drivers and pedestrians and bicyclists and everybody knows the rules of the roadway. So drivers should know that it is a state law when a pedestrian sets their foot in a crosswalk that they need to yield to that pedestrian, yield the right of way to them to cross the street. Enforcement is another piece of strategies to address safety. And so having enforcement of the laws so that drivers are reminded how to obey those laws and pedestrians and bicyclists as well. But he also touched on an incredibly important point, which gets to the underlying risk within the system. So if you have a crosswalk that is just painted with lines on the roadway, it may be relatively difficult for an approaching driver to see that crosswalk, especially at night when 75% of the pedestrian fatalities occur. So what can we do to engineer the roadway to be safer for those types of pedestrian crossings? So we had one idea. We use a treatment called a rapid flashing beacon at some crosswalks to really highlight that it's there. So you'll see flashing lights on both sides of the roadway, alerting the driver to a pedestrian being present. But I think we can go further than that too, because the underlying risk of any particular street or roadway also has a lot to do with its geometric design and the speed of vehicles that it is designed for. And higher speeds lead to higher impact crashes. So if you can design a street within an urban or suburban environment in particular, where you're likely to have many pedestrian crossings, if you can design that to be a slower speed, if there does happen to be a crash, then that pedestrian will have a lower level of injury. And ways to design for lower speed is not only having the flashing beacons at crosswalks, but having roadway lanes that are narrow enough to communicate that this is a slower speed environment, having curb extensions at the ends of crosswalks or at corners when drivers are turning so that they can't go through that space quite as fast. And it communicates that, hey, this is a place where you're likely to expect pedestrians and you should travel a little bit slower. And that's communicated through the design itself.
Thanks for that call, Edward. There's a core concept I keep coming across, Bob, the idea that streets are one thing. It's a place where you stop off and do stuff, and you might walk from point A to point B. Roads are a way to drive from point A to point B, but so much of our design is, some of the design people call them strodes, where you try to make that high pedestrian area where cars are going, you know, they're really designed for cars. Can you talk about the concept of the strode, the combination between street and road?
Yes, and I believe it was Charles Mohan or somebody to that effect who first coined that term maybe 10 or 15 years ago. So I don't want to take credit for that, but it really recognizes that we have urban and suburban oriented areas where you have high levels of activity, but we've designed the street to act like a high capacity, high-speed thoroughfare for cars. And in that sort of environment, you have the highest risk for pedestrians who are crossing the street or walking along the street. In some cases, these strodes, as we might call them, have transit service. So they've got bus stops along them where people are trying to get in on and off the bus by accessing getting across the street to their bus stop. So the idea of prioritizing throughput for the automobiles in those corridors is contradictory to the safety of the people trying to cross. One other thing about it is that some of the communities where these higher speed, multi-lane highways practically have been put through urban areas that had been developed in the past, essentially those highways cut through former business districts. And so you can think of a state highway that may go through Main Street in a small town in Wisconsin, or the state highways like 151 in Madison, East Washington Avenue, or Fond du Lac Avenue in Milwaukee. These may have had a large number of local businesses in the past, but now the highway has cut through where those businesses had been and really detracts from that commercial environment for the local neighborhood businesses.
We're talking to Robert Schneider from UW-Milwaukee's Department of Urban Planning, looking at pedestrian safety in the U.S. and ways to make our streets safer by designing them to be safer. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel safe walking around the streets in your neighborhood, or do you worry about high-speed traffic coming through on these things that are more roadway than street? Do you have questions for our guest or ideas, solutions of your own? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about an uptick in pedestrian fatalities across the U.S. during the pandemic and what can be done to turn those numbers in the other direction, in part by the way we design our streets. Robert Schneider from UW-Milwaukee's Department of Urban Planning stays with us, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences with a dangerous street in your neck of the woods. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. So I heard the previous caller talking about the crosswalks with flashing lights, and I just wanted to share. So I'm calling from Appleton, and we have Appleton, the city, has installed a couple of those kinds of crosswalks downtown in recent years, and they did so in response to a couple Lawrence students ending up getting hit by cars downtown. And then I was also listening to your guest remarking on kind of strodes and things like that. And College Avenue, which is downtown Appleton, part of it is a great example of that. It has four, you know, it's divided and has four lanes, but it also tries to, you know, stick in these pedestrian crosswalks. And Appleton has tried to become, you know, more bicycle and more pedestrian friendly over the last few years with the addition of some bike lanes and things like that. But we're still not anywhere close to somewhere like Madison or some European city.
Michael, thanks for the call. Bob, your thoughts on what Michael reports from Appleton?
Yeah, I've been along College Avenue before, and I think it is a good example of the challenge that we have. For pedestrian safety, I think we need to step back a little bit too and think of where we are as a country. It's important to know that as we've seen our pedestrian fatalities increase by more than 50% over the last decade, most other countries across the world have not seen that same change. Most have actually seen pedestrian fatalities decrease. And it goes to the fundamental ways that we think about our transportation system. And I'll get back to Michael's point here along College Avenue. Why is it that we have not prioritized the safety of pedestrian crossings? Well, for decades, really post-World War II, all the way up till, you know, 2000 or the early 20-teens, even in some places, the main concept behind roadway engineering was to move motor vehicles as quickly and efficiently as possible from place to place. And the primary metric that engineers and planners were using was a concept called level of service. And essentially, you had to keep the traffic flowing along any roadway, and you needed to build more travel lanes and wider roadways so you could accommodate that extra traffic volume so that it wouldn't get congested. But what we've seen and the thinking in the last decade or so has changed to say, hey, there's other types of users, there's other benefits of our streets besides just moving cars quickly from place to place. There's support for local business districts. There's pedestrian safety, like we're talking about today. There's neighborhood beautification, adding greenery and medians and trees and those sorts of things. Those can all be great uses of street space. And so simply using one metric that says we need cars to go as quickly as possible along the street, which is really the concept behind why College Avenue is the way it is, that needs to be revisited. And we need to take fundamental steps back in how we think about our transportation system so that it becomes safer. One way that this is being done is through the type of program called Vision Zero. Both Madison and Milwaukee have established Vision Zero policies to say we are not going to design our system in a way that we have a vision to design a system that produces no traffic fatalities within our community. We are no longer going to accept those as a regular outcome or a byproduct of our transportation system. The U.S. Department of Transportation's National Road Safety Strategy, just released this year, also supports this general concept. But it is going to take fundamental change to how we've done our roadway designs and how we've actually laid out our communities.
Thanks for that call. Kathy joins us now in Green Bay. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I think you should allow bikes on the sidewalks. If bikes go on bike paths, I think they should face traffic and not go with it. And I think cars come way too close to bikes many times, which has been very dangerous for me because, you feel as though you're being swept off the bike path. And also with the new electric cars coming, becoming more popular, the cars are very quiet, so you don't really hear them coming from behind you either.
Kathy, thanks for the call. Kathy, thinking about the bikes too, Bob, a big part of the safety equation here.
For sure. And actually, we've seen bicyclist fatality rates also increase over the last 20 years to some of their highest levels in recent memory as well. We continue to work on the design of our bike facilities. Some of the things that Kathy points out are really fundamental to how those are designed. So one of the basic concepts is try to give bicyclists more space from motor vehicles. So in a number of cities, we're trying to design protected bike lanes. So it feels like more bicycling along a separated path than along in the street lane with cars. Those protected bike lanes may be separated by concrete buffers or planter boxes, or be on the other side of parked cars where the bicyclists are along the curb, but the parked cars are a little bit further away between the moving vehicles and the bicyclists. So that can help make bicyclists feel more comfortable and hopefully attract more people to ride in a safer environment. A key aspect of that, though, that Kathy brings up indirectly is the direction that the bicyclists are going. Mm-hmm. One of the dangers of riding along a sidewalk, if you're a bicyclist, is riding in the opposite direction of the adjacent motor vehicle traffic. If you do that, it's more dangerous at the intersection crossings or driveway crossings. So it's important to ride on the right side of the roadway in the same direction as the motor vehicles. More protection can help you feel comfortable in that situation. Same with multi-use paths. It's important to ride on the right side of the path and for all users to be on the right side unless it's otherwise marked. So those are some important guidelines for bicycling. I'll just say one other thing about bicycle facilities. As cities have installed new protected bike lanes and other bicyclist infrastructure, those roadways have become generally safer for all users. So that includes pedestrians because they often have shorter crossing distances. So they'll have to, they'll be able to cross the bike lane, but then have narrower roadway lanes for motor vehicles to cross. And then the motor vehicles on those corridors will often be going at a slower speed because it's a more multimodal environment. In some cases, the number of motor vehicle travel lanes is reallocated and reduced so that you can provide those bike lanes, which in turn provides those safety benefits for both pedestrians, bicyclists, and the motor vehicle users.
Thanks for that call, Kathy. In just our last half a minute or so, Bob, do you see key planners taking these issues more seriously in recent years?
I think that people are taking it more seriously, but one of the big challenges is we have a system with lots of momentum behind it. It will take rethinking many, many arterial roadways in our urban and suburban communities, thinking about where can we make them be designed for a little bit slower speeds so that we enhance pedestrian and bicyclist safety, and ultimately think about how can we design a community where walking, biking, mass transit are more attractive so that we don't have to have as many motor vehicles out on the roadway, which introduce risk to pedestrians and bicyclists.
Bob, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me.
That's Robert Schneider, professor and chair of UW-Milwaukee's Department of Urban Planning, with us today to talk about ways to make streets safer after a rise in pedestrian deaths during the pandemic.